Hello, everybody. Welcome to an extra episode of LKTV. We don't have the music playing because we're trying something brand new for the very first time. We have a long-distance guest joining us. So Dave and I are here in Los Angeles, but through the miracle of the internet, joining us from New York City is artist Nayland Blake, friend of the show. You may remember him from Linoleum Knife and Fork when he and Dave made a frosting poodle, but we had to get his expertise on a specific Hallmark movie that aired this year. Nayland, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
This was a delight, and it's actually, I think this was Dave's idea. This movie came on called...
No.
No, this is me? Okay.
This was you.
All right.
I mean, when you said it, my first thought was, okay, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It is also an insult to art history. But that's fine because I know that Nayland is game.
am I insulting art history or is Hallmark? Anyway, so this weekend, A Gingerbread Romance premiered on the network as part of the Countdown to Christmas. And the premise is Tia Mowry, whatever her married name is, plays an architect who has to design a life-size gingerbread house. And when I heard that plot, I was like, wait. I know somebody who's made a life-size gingerbread house, and that would be Nayland. So, Nayland, for people who maybe are not familiar with your CV, tell us a little about your work in general and specifically how gingerbread plays into all of this.
Sure. I am an artist who works in a lot of different materials, including food. I've done a lot of different sculptures, and I guess the main thing that's helpful to understand about my work is that I try to take a thing that's in everybody's head and make it physical and see what happens when that happens. So I basically made this gingerbread in part because this gingerbread house in part because every kid, you know, carries around that image from Hansel and Gretel of like being able to be, you know, inside of this house that's totally made of cake and to eat as much as you want and what would happen if that was the case. And so I decided, all right, I'll do that. And actually, there's another little bit of a backstory to doing it is that in the course of making the cake and in course of making the house, I realized that as a kid, I had been taken to the like B. Altman Holiday Windows 1 year, and one of the things that I remembered was that they had giant gingerbread houses as the display. So I must have been like 6 or 7 when I did that. So in a sense, this is kind of closing the circle on that to get back around to like the giant gingerbread houses. You know, through my inspiration into this.
Now, did you do more than one of these? Because Dave and I encountered one here at the Hammer Museum, but I believe you also did it in New York.
Well, basically, the idea is that every time the piece is shown, it is remade.
Yeah.
So we don't store the gingerbread indefinitely. There's basically a plan for how you make it, and actually, somebody bought it. So. It was in their collection for a while, and then they donated it to a museum. And so every time that the piece gets shown in various places, we have to remake all of the gingerbread. So it's been shown in Switzerland. It's been shown in New York. It's been shown in upstate New York. It's been shown in Los Angeles. It's been shown in Baltimore, and actually it will be shown again in Los Angeles fall of next year. I'm having a retrospective at the ICA LA.
Okay.
So it'll be on view again there.
So I assume then as the creator, you offer very specific instructions to whoever is assembling this installation as to how they have to put it together, how the gingerbread has to be made, all of that stuff.
Well, the thing that's really fun is that we, when I was doing it for the first time, I partnered with a local bakery in New York, in Chelsea, in fact, woman by the name of Eleni, who has a business called Eleni's Cakes. And she's sort of famous for making thematic gingerbread cookie assortments. So I worked with her on the initial recipe. And then every time we go to a new location, we find a new local baker to partner with. So a lot of resonance with the plot of this. I've actually worked with a lot of bakers on the on getting it right.
So yeah, I thought that was a perfect segue. I was going to bring us into a gingerbread romance where we see conflict between the designer and the baker regarding the how the materials are going to be, what it's going to taste like, you know, how the, you know, the density of the gingerbread, and is that going to work with the design? Did these conversations seem remotely realistic to you? Or what I've learned about watching all these Hallmark movies is that, you know, people who want to be photographers don't know anything about photography. People who want to be wreath designers make the worst wreaths imaginable. So now I finally have an expert witness. So tell me about it.
I mean, I have thoughts.
this is a safe place to share.
And I have to say also that this is my first Hallmark holiday movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I'm sorry
we did this to you.
Well, I have some questions that hopefully you'll be able to illuminate for me as well.
I'll do my best.
First of all, does everybody in all of these movies just simultaneously deliver exposition and restate plot points over and over again as they talk to each other?
Absolutely. These are this is classic nursing home television.
Oh, okay.
If you nodded off before, or you had to leave the room and come back, like, they are constantly catching you up as to what's going on, to the point where you could fall asleep during one, wake up during the next one, and you're in good shape.
And you think you're watching the same movie.
I mean, the way that people's sort of hopes and dreams and experience was sort of restated for each other was a little disconcerting to me.
I understand you want to open your own bakery.
Yes, exactly. And that you're tired of being, and that you have a sort of rivalry with another architect who was in the same firm, but then went to a different firm. Yeah, I mean, it was, that took me aback a little bit, but, you know, okay. I would say that there's just like, in terms of executing this thing, there actually is some stuff that they got right. Huh. And then a bunch of stuff that is like, no, sorry. Sorry about that.
Well, break it down.
Okay. So we go through this whole thing about, I mean, first of all, in a world where Nailed It exists. You know that, like, the layperson now has more understanding about structural integrity in baked goods,
right,
than these supposed experts do.
Right. Their royal icing is garbage.
You know, royal icing, not a load-bearing adhesive.
Right.
As it is kind of, like, put forward in this. So we have this whole thing where the baker is sort of the loosey-goosey inspired artist who finds the recipe as they're kind of going along, and the architect is the uptight, has to have a plan for everything, and can't, like, improvise in the moment, can't understand what her heart really wants, because everything has to be, like, super efficient and super planned, and thus, you know, she doesn't bother with Christmas anymore.
Right.
You know, anybody who has baked anything knows how well that approach works. But, you know, there's specific stuff like grated ginger. That, like, how you know, I mean, basically what we learned in making My Gingerbread House was that you could make a thing that basically had the ingredients of gingerbread, but it also had to be baked in a way that it was not going to do the things that gingerbread does, which is sort of like fall apart over a period of time.
The baker talks a lot about not wanting to compromise on flavor. And I was like, wait, who's going to
eat
this?
Yeah, no one's going to eat this. Or, in fact, if you do, I mean, to be honest, when the first time we set mine up, we ran into an immediate problem installing it, which is that we baked sheets that were very similar to the first version that we see, like the thin panels that she's so concerned about for her design. So we did that. That actually makes sense. That's a way to go about doing it. It's about the right size, the things that they made that are sort of a full sheet. And they show one of those like crumbling, right? Well, the reason why those things crumble is that A, if you don't bake them super hard, so in other words, if they don't have like a lot more egg white in them and not corn syrup, not as he's sort of talking about, not not oil, if you bake them so that they're a hard biscuit rather than a cake, they have to be really dry, but also their tendency is that they will absorb moisture, right?
Yeah.
So you have to seal them in some way. And so the way that we figured out the first time we did was we just put like a plastic, like a varnish on them. Unfortunately, we found out that like after the piece was up for a few days, people did start breaking off pieces and trying to eat it. So the first time we installed it, we had to put a little sign up that was like, you know, please, not for human consumption, like please. Please don't eat because you'll kill yourself. But subsequently, the solution that we found is like an egg glaze will actually like seal the surface of it and keep it from getting soggy and falling apart.
One thing I do know about the use of grated ginger is if you want to make a fluffy cake or a sticky gingerbread cake, and I've made one of each in the past 2 weeks, you need to use a lot of grated ginger, but that's not the same recipe as when you're using it as a building material.
Right, because it's too, the grains are too big.
Right.
So of course it's going to fall, it's
grated ginger is going to add moisture to your cake.
Exactly.
It's going to add moisture to your recipe. Yeah.
So that was a no-go. And then his big solution to that is we'll bake like bricks. And those bricks that they were baking seemed to be like thicker than the idea was that they were going to be like thicker. And I'm like, well, that's just going to make it cakier. There's no way you're going to, like, how are you going to bake the interior of that and have it be
without
sturdy?
Burning it. Right.
Yeah. And you notice like in the movie, when they switch over to the bricks, that's suddenly when you'd stop seeing things kind of close up and you realize that, that stuff isn't actually...
This is just cardboard now.
Yeah, this is just cardboard now. All those shingles they were putting on. Also, there was a moment where I had a note that was like, wait a minute, we've drifted away from royal icing into the foam insulation... The spray foam insulation decoration, which is what like 90% of that like curlicue decoration is that's on that you then see on the outside from everything else.
Right.
It's all just it's like just foam insulation at that point. They just don't care. And particularly it's really noticeable on like everybody else's like the runner up cakes, the supposed like incredibly elegant and soulless French nemesis design. The pastry chef who's like, man, I have a note here, man, white people are evil. It's like they're it's amazing how evil they are in this movie. But the other thing that seemed completely off to me was like the candy shopping scene. All of that, like, Yeah, let's just. Drops. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, like what store? What person who's working at a store like on Christmas, you know, like right before Christmas Eve, has a kid come in and go like, "We'll take 10,000 gumdrops," and just goes, "Sure." Like, we have those in the back.
They're making them as you speak.
Yeah, and also, at that point, you're going to pay retail for that.
Yes,
like, exactly. What kind of a budget does this project have?
At least go to Costco.
Yeah. So one of my other structural problems is that they have, when they're building the framework, mm-hmm. like basically for my gingerbread house, which is like 7 feet by 7 feet by 10 feet. So it's kind of basically the same structure as theirs.
Right.
We built a steel framework with not only vertical uprights but also horizontal ones with like a little lip. So basically every layer of gingerbread that we place on the framework is sitting on a little lip. Like the way that they have their structure, there's only uprights. So as soon as you put like the, you know, you have the ground that supports the first layer of gingerbread, but as soon as you put like a layer on top of that, it's all gonna like slump down and fall
yeah.
over. So yeah. that was like structural problem right there, which is not a baking problem. It's an architecture problem.
Right.
Like her whole thing is like she's never had to actually deal with like building materials. That's the thing that seems really strange to me about it.
It's because she doesn't love Christmas enough.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yes, it's one thing to be under budget. I mean, I guess if you don't ever have any cross bracing, your buildings do come in under budget. Yeah, exactly.
One thing I really love about the ridiculousness of this film is that they are simultaneously progressive with gender and regressive with gender.
Mm-hmm.
She is the architect and he is the baker when, you know, traditionally baking is feminine and building is masculine is what people in their heads associate, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in order for her to be the woman who has to be taught something by the man, they have to make her the architect so she can be uptight and him the baker so that he can teach her things. So we have it has its gingerbread and eats it too, but in all the completely wrong ways.
Right. And also that he has to be the bearer of soulfulness.
Yeah.
Because and the whole thing about going to like where Santa drops off the reindeer, whatever, you know, the whole thing about her leaving for Paris,
right?
Like I wrote down here somewhere, like France is clearly hell. Like
in these movies, yeah. If you're going to France, if you're going to Aspen, God forbid you're going to a warm climate, or if you're staying in New York, you are doing Christmas wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Be in Philadelphia, where people are people. You know.
Especially if Philadelphia can be played by Calgary or whatever.
Exactly.
One thing I will give this movie is that what keeps the two of them apart is never like a stupid misunderstanding that could be solved in a 2-minute conversation. It's actually about, well, does she continue her career on its previous trajectory and go to Paris and not get tied down to stuff, or does she give that up because she wants to stay in town and be with him? So it's not the thing where like he sees her hugging her ex and is like, oh no, they're back together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I will at least give the movie that.
Yeah, we don't get the architect that she had the rivalry with as like a former love interest.
Right. I need to be the Dan right now and say I give this movie nothing.
Well, we do they don't have a stupid misunderstanding, but they do have
a stupid understanding.
They do have a stupid like meeting that's like only requires like that requires her getting upset because he put frosting on her drawing and made it messy, like in a office where obviously they run those plans off like bit like 10,000 times a day.
Right.
They have to set up the classic you know,
yes, yeah.
Time, you know.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
again.
Yeah. Yeah, when she has to convince him to help her after she's called like all the after she blew it with all of the other bakers
right.
in town and she has to come back around to them.
All of the other bakers.
Yeah, I was also I loved that her mother was an international lawyer and her father was a diplomat. Kind of
right.
as if those two things were not the same thing, and also like they've just been that forever.
Apparently, yes. Democrat or Republican, whichever administration, he's just diplomating up a storm.
Yeah, wherever. Just send him off to diplomat.
You know, what's been interesting, also, this is one of the handful of films this year where we have people of color in the leads, which
mm-hmm.
is a long overdue step for Hallmark to take, but they have managed to use the same old scripts, so these characters are as bland and amorphous as any other Hallmark characters. And I think maybe I notice it less when they're white people, because I just sort of assume that white people on TV get to be amorphous and blank. But now that they're doing it to black characters, I'm like, oh, I guess that's parody?
Yeah, I mean, I've spent holidays with... I will say that, like, spending holidays with... my black relatives and my white relatives, it's not like it's so very different.
Right.
Cause they're sort of all of my families are sort of from New England. So everybody, it's kind of the same culturally, mm-hmm. but it is true that this was like so talented 10th, like everybody was at like the highest level of achievement. Everybody had like, you know, and
well, that's the Tyler Perry model as well.
Yes. Yeah. 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 It's very aspirational.
You should see the one about the lawyer in Wisconsin who likes ice fishing.
I can only imagine the terrible obstacles that have to be overcome.
I was afraid for a moment that you were about to say, "I cannot wait to watch this." You don't.
No,
don't,
I can wait.
Don't do that, please. Don't.
I was, yeah. And all of the weird stuff about like popping in and like decorating her house secretly and like all this really weird behavior that is like about mandatory Christmas enforcement.
Oh yeah, no, they love to deprive women of agency in these. And
yeah.
And it's only because she's spending the entire movie building the gingerbread house that she isn't being forced to like plan a holiday party, because that's what they make the heroines of all these movies do, no matter what their actual profession is.
Mm-hmm. I also felt like incredibly bad for her coworker, like that friend, the sort of like the office manager kind of schlubby friend that she has.
Oh, right.
Who has to deliver, like her and the boss of the architecture firm have to like deliver like the worst, flattest lines. Like, I think there's an amazing line where she's on the phone with the friend and the friend says something like, I know you'll fix it. You're you. It's like, wow.
And the boss is played by Melissa Peterman, who's actually funny, but gets nothing here.
Yeah, she's given nothing to do here. Like, her motivations are really, really bizarre. And it's like, yeah, I talked to the board, so you're a go for Paris. And the whole like subplot with the mayor and getting that development. And it's all like... Yeah,
sorry,
she has to...
I'm sorry.
No, go.
Oh, no, I said, for these movies, they don't hire the actors for their abilities or personalities. They hire them because they were the easiest get.
They're in Vancouver.
I don't know anything. I don't really know anything about Tia Mowry's personality. All I know about her is that she was on Sister Sister.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, that's everything I know about her. She might be the most, she might be the most fascinating person in the world. You would never know that from watching her be in a film like this.
Yeah. I did feel like the love interest had some, you know, had some appreciable smolder to him. He felt that he felt like he had a little bit more depth going on there.
He was eye candy for sure. The line readings were not grabbing me.
Yeah.
If we're judging him on cuteness based on other Hallmark, other Hallmark rescue studs, he's top tier.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good to know. So I'm at the height with him. I don't have to. I don't have to look otherwise.
You don't have to go. You don't have to go any further. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is a kind of delightful parallel world where everything that you see is shaped like things in our world, but none of it operates in the same way. Like,
right.
Like I also, you know, when I got out of college, and was a young artist, I worked at a place called Just Desserts in the Bay Area. So I've worked behind the counter of a bakery, a bake shop. And the bakers do not do the counter work. That seems to be the case in this. Nor are they like baking behind the counter and hauling food out in such a way that like it's gonna get cross-contaminated with the public. But also, like, that's not how shops work. Like the
listen, we could keep going on about this. There have been so many Hallmark films set in bakeries that I've nearly lost my mind watching them with Alonzo. And every single detail is incorrect.
They tend to come breezing in at 9 a.m., you know.
So.
Well, Nayland, you are a mensch to have given us this expert testimony and enduring the film to do so. Where can people find you online?
I'm Nayland Blake on Twitter, all one word, and Nayland W. Blake, all one word, on Instagram. Awesome. You can take a look at my private website, naylandblake.net, and otherwise I'm around. I'll be seeing you guys in Los Angeles soon as we're working on this show.
I'm very excited. If we could actually like witness some gingerbread baking, that would be thrilling.
You guys can come and hang out in the house. We won't have like a cute photo of the three of us over the mantelpiece. Cause there isn't one, but it is like I'll tell you, it is a crazy experience to be in. Oh, and I should say one other thing, like after making mine, you know, my mom came to the show and was sort of looking at it and also watching a video that I had made of me being fed for an hour. She was a little bit upset about the video, and I was like, well, I understand, it's a little intense. And she was like, well, it was just all the different things you were eating. I couldn't see doing that. I could see eating the gingerbread for an hour. And so I got commissioned to make this piece where I paneled her bedroom in gingerbread.
Right.
And if anyone can find the old issue of a magazine that was called Nest.
Mm-hmm.
If you're out there listening and you want to see this thing as it happened, it was featured in this magazine, an old interior design magazine that no longer exists, called Nest. And it's truly a wonderful article with lots of great photos.
Photos by Nan Golden.
Nan Golden. Oh, wow. Exactly, yeah.
And the gingerbread recipe.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, listen, this has been a freebie episode of LKTV. It's normally available only to our Patreon customers and listeners at patreon.com/linoleumknife. So if you like this, go over there and check out our other content, our other shows, our prizes. But Nayland, always a pleasure to talk to you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to both of you as well. Take care.
Thank you, Nayland. We don't deserve you.
But you're stuck with me anyway.